In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Thanks for listening to the program on Thursday, October 20th, 2011, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. 3 p.m. on Thursday is always industry chatter. Today is no exception. My guest on the program today is a veteran of this show. It's Paul Strasser. He is the Senior Vice President and General Manager of the Federal Group for DRC. It's great to see you again, Paul. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Francis. Great to be here.
Tell me, of course, we always start with the elevator speech on your company. Tell me about DRC.
Well, DRC is a 56-year-old company. We're a leading provider of management consulting, engineering, and information technology to our government customers. Been around a long time. We're not one of the Johnny-come-latelys, and we do a lot of good work for the government over a long period of time, and it's been our pleasure to serve the country in this way.
Where are most of your customers?
We're pretty spread out. 93% of our business is in the federal market. We do some state and local, which is really highly focused on child welfare systems. But in the government itself, we do probably about 55% of our business is in DOD. The rest is made up of civilian and other parts of the federal government. And in my own group, I have a piece that's dedicated to Homeland Security, another piece that's dedicated to the intelligence community, a third piece which is focused on civilian, but in particular federal financials and regulatory agencies, which is an important area these days. And then the last one is focused on DOD and mainly on the military healthcare systems.
I want to talk a little bit to start off about the federal financial piece of it. What difference, if any, has the push to stop improper payments had on the kinds of questions or challenges that agencies are bringing to you or the kinds of solutions that they need?
Well, I think, today we do a lot of work at FDIC. We have a contract called BAMS, and what we do is we help the office of the CIO, Department of IT, and we help them actually figure out and develop and design the systems that they need in order to do their mission. And their mission is to oversee the banks, make sure they're healthy, to insure banks and deposits, and et cetera. So one of the things we're doing there is, you know, any banking rules and any risks that they can expose through various applications that determine the risks of banks is done through their IT systems. So we actually help them on the front end to design those rules and actually be able to produce reports that actually can look not only at financials but many other aspects of the banks themselves to determine whether they're healthy. I'm not familiar that in that case we're helping with improper payments,
right,
but it's obviously a big area as well, and we know there's a lot of fraud and abuse in the system. I think we see that more on the healthcare side of the house.
The financial management angle, though, is, I guess, more important than ever because agencies are just looking for ways to keep money from going out that doesn't need to go out and trying to tighten that up. We were talking before we went on the air about you're still seeing lots of legacy systems, not just in financial management, but all across government that just aren't doing the job anymore. Is that true?
Well, I think there's still a lot of systems that need to be upgraded in government. I mean, they've come a long way over the years, and many systems have been upgraded to the latest technologies. But there's still still a lot of paper-based systems. There's still mainframes out there and other systems using I would say older technology. In that sense, the federal financials area is an important area. Obviously, we all care a lot about economics and financials. The fiduciary responsibility of the U.S. government and the contractors is important. But that said, I think that what we really look at and specialize at DRC is try to focus on some of the new things like what Dodd-Frank means and how that's changing the business rules and how it impacts the banking community. So as an example, the recent ruling has come out from FDIC in respect to the Volcker rule. So we're now dissecting that and trying to figure out how we can help our customer as they go forward to implement those new regulations.
I'm not sure Congress always understands either the impact that their actions are going to have on the agencies, where you're going to be in a position like that to try to help the agencies understand what they have to do to meet some of these new requirements.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting environment right now. all of us have been around this environment a long time. There's a lot of dynamics right now. Obviously, the debt is a serious problem that needs to be addressed. And it's changed some of the dynamics in the industry. Competition is going to be more fierce. There's going to be some pullback in spending. I was at a conference this morning on mergers and acquisitions, and Bill Loomis did a pitch about what the market looks like. And, mm-hmm. They're seeing it generally flat to slightly declining over a period of 5 years or so. The Vision Conference from Tech America was just going on. So, at DRC, we look at that and we try to figure out, how we can stay ahead of that market and do the best we can. So we've positioned ourselves some time ago in our strategic markets so that we could be prepared for this inevitable downturn as they start to eliminate this debt. So for a while back, we got, sort of away from the DOD A&AS business and have been focused on, the things that everybody's talking about nowadays, cybersecurity,
right.
Healthcare, federal financials, Homeland Security Intelligence. So those are our strategic markets and where we're trying to maximize the situation. But at the same time, I think the one thing I would say is the pullbacks, like I think I heard the factoid today that if they just took away the DOD budget, it really wouldn't make a big difference in the overall scheme of the debt situation.
That's right.
And really the entitlements is the area they got to, attack. And so.
We can talk about that later, the structure of the budget and what that means for companies like yours. I want to ask you about four words that are the bane of contractors' existence who work in DOD right now. Lowest price technically acceptable. You're hearing that a lot more, I imagine, than you have in the past.
Yeah, we're seeing that in the market. Some of the RFPs actually say those words in it. There's obviously, even where they don't say it, and they still use the words best value, it's interesting that it appears to us that price is a bigger factor in awarding contracts than we've seen in the past, at least in the recent past. I think it's good. I mean, the country ought to get derived best value. I think we have to be careful that the pendulum doesn't swing too far.
Mm-hmm.
And what I fear is if they award on a low price basis, they may not get the value that they seek. And if that starts to impact the many missions of government, U.S. government, I think that would be a really bad thing. So I hope that the officers and the procurement people stay focused on cost realism as they go to award a low price, technically acceptable contracts, because in the end, you still got to do the work and you would hate to impact some, the many important missions. So we got to be careful.
Yeah. You're not the only person that is concerned about how closely contracting officers are looking at the entire life cycle of a contract, whatever it is, whether it's a service procurement or a weapon system or whatever. There seems to be a lot of folks that are wondering if that's really on the minds of people or if it really is, what's the cheapest thing I can buy to solve this problem today? And I'm not worried about 6 months or 12 months or 2 years down the line.
Yeah, it's a complicated problem. I mean, there's this move to commoditize services. Well, buying a service is not necessarily as easily as buying a widget.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it can be done in certain instances where there is a lot of repeating, services. But at the same time, we have to be careful that we don't go too far and we have to be prudent in how we go about our business here. Services are complicated. They're a big part of what drives the government. The contracting community augments the government and helps carry out the mission. So we just have to be smart about how we move out. And I think that's everybody's goal. We just have to make sure that we don't get so worried about the economic situation that we don't sort of do something that, costs us later on.
Paul Strasser is the Senior Vice President, General Manager of the Federal Group at DRC, and we'll continue our conversation on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in just a moment.
Move but need your CAPS info? CAPS Mobile lets you use your mobile phone to stay connected to the CAPS. Receive breaking news and special offers by text message. Check live scores and stats with the Caps mobile app. Enter Text to Win contest for great Caps prices and much more. To join the Caps mobile club, text CAPS to 43803 now. For more info on all Caps mobile offerings, visit the Fan Zone section of WashingtonCaps.com. Stay Caps connected with Caps Mobile.
When it comes to your health and that of your family, you want security and peace of mind. That's why more federal employees have chosen the Blue Cross Blue Shield Federal Employee Program for over 50 years. And it has one of the largest networks of doctors and hospitals. Who knew? That's the security of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. To find out more, visit whonew.fepblue.org or call 1-800-411-BLUE.
AT&T's commitment is clear. That's why we're announcing that with the planned merger with T-Mobile, AT&T will begin bringing 5,000 jobs to America from overseas. We will invest $8 billion more and deploy the next generation of wireless broadband to nearly everyone in America. This investment will create as many as 96,000 American jobs. We're ready to invest in America. AT&T.
By the latest second-generation Intel Core processors, new HP ProLiant GS servers are an ideal choice for reducing power costs and getting a jump on your cloud computing initiatives. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how the power of HP and Intel can achieve ROI in as little as 2 months. Talk to GovConnection and find out how together they can power your data center into the future. Call 800-800-0019 today.
Here's Mike Malazzo, Deputy CIO for Operations of HUD, on the Storage Efficiency Panel, sponsored by NetApp.
We are seeing a surge in new applications, new data requirements, along with looking at best practices. You know, deduplication is certainly a place where we want to look. We also need to look at getting our arms around the data to consolidate where we can. There's a lot of redundant data. This gentleman spoke about litigation holds. That's never ending, and we're keeping data for a long period of time on that.
To hear more, visit federalnewsradio.com, keyword storage.
If you're in federal IT, there's one area where you really want to do more with less. That's storage. And how do you keep storage from eating up your budget? That's simple. Buy less of it. NetApp storage is flexible and easy to manage. It also requires far less hardware, at least 50% less for virtualized environments. IT efficiency starts with storage efficiency built on NetApp and delivered by NetApp partners like WWT. To get efficient now, visit netapp.com/federal.
I'm Amy Morris. Here's a look at Friday morning's Federal Drive. Why can't the federal workforce just sit still? The future of your new mobile workforce. And General Dynamics is working on a new underwater mind-finding device for the Navy. We'll learn how it could impact the Navy's use of unmanned vessels. That and more Friday morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. For all the latest federal news, check us out on federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Paul Strasser of DRC is my guest on Industry Chatter today. Now, we talked a little bit about the contracts and DOD and the experience that you and other vendors have in the same thing with the LPTAs. Overall, what's the landscape look like contracting-wise, not necessarily just particularly kinds of RFPs that you're seeing, but just more broadly across government? How's it different than maybe 2 years ago or 5 years ago?
You know, I haven't seen a lot of changes yet. I think what we saw was because of the CR last year, there was some the money arrived a little later, so the procurements didn't seem to happen quite the way they do normally at the end of our Q3, the government's Q4. So that was an interesting sort of byproduct of what happened this year. The RFPs are similar. The work still has to get done, but there's definitely a some gloom and doom on the horizon. I think some people have made it out to be a bit worse than it probably will be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the forecast is for, let's say, a 10% decrease in budgets, is that really going to impact industry the way that like publicly traded stocks have already been impacted mm-hmm. in the market? So it's an interesting situation, and there was some talk on that again this morning. You know, so, but, you know, we're prepared for that. I mean, I think we feel at our size, $400 million company, and that's by virtue of the fact that we just did an acquisition, which maybe we can talk about later.
Yeah.
But the fact is we're very nimble, so we can react to the market at DRC. We have some really good core markets to target, and so we feel very good about going into this environment. But it's going to be tough, and you got to really protect what you have, because everybody's going to be going after everybody else's work because there's not a lot of new money available. So
yeah.
It's an environment where you got to really be careful about making sure you hold on to what you got and trying to figure out how to get the other guys.
Let's talk about M&A now, actually, because I wanted to go there also. You've been doing this for a long time. You've been in this market a long time. Is this one of the ripest M&A times that you've seen, and if so, why?
Yeah, so most people right now, the real pros, are saying that it is going to, we're on the cusp of the next big run
mm-hmm.
of M&A activity, and they relate it a lot to what happened in the early 90s. So for a lot of companies, it's about targeting specific growth areas. Let's say you don't have healthcare today, but you're a good IT provider. You know, you got to figure out how to get in the healthcare market. So that's important. At DRC, you know, we just closed a deal in June of this year, and that was the merger acquisition of High Performance Technologies, Inc., HPTI, a really high-class company that we're really proud to be a part of our DRC family now. With respect to them, there was almost no overlap in customers per se, but there was tremendous synergy in the target strategic areas.
Mm-hmm.
For example, healthcare. They were doing a lot of work at VA. We're doing a lot of work at military health. Together, we've become truly a health powerhouse mm-hmm. in the federal business now, with on the order of about $80 million a year run rate.
Had they subbed for you before?
You know, not at my time at DRC. I've only been there about a year and a half. But uh-huh. in my previous lives, I was very familiar with the company.
Okay.
And it's interesting, too, because their legacy is on the high-performance computing side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually still run the high-performance computing center for the Army. They actually do high-end algorithm work and figure out these really big problems, like the geophysics lab. They do the climate modeling.
Oh,
and
wow.
They're trying to figure out the global warming problems.
Mm-hmm.
So that's NOAA doing that work, and we're helping them with computer scientists and people that are really into the science side, and then developing the algorithms and the computational power to then, you know, sort of derive the answer. So cluster computing, parallel computing, these kinds of things.
So that falls into one kind of synergy that companies are looking for, which is we're going to find companies that do things similar to what we do, but not at the same places. And then the other one that I've seen a fair amount of deals are the kinds of synergy where a company goes, we're going to essentially buy a smaller competitor or somebody that's done a lot of subbing for us and just keep all of that business in-house.
Yeah, that's generally referred to as like bulking up. Like if you're trying yeah. to get a critical mass in a specific mm-hmm. functional area or in a customer set, that's one of the main strategies that are out there. Sometimes acquisition of a contract is important. You know, for example, recently the T4 contracts got let. You know, there's probably a lot of emphasis on maybe targeting some of the companies that received that contract.
Mm-hmm.
When Eagle gets awarded, perhaps in the first quarter of 2012, you know, that
perhaps.
May, that may be an interesting one as uh-huh. well. So, yeah, that's another strategy. For us, it's all about where the money is. And, you know, we targeted these areas, again, healthcare, cyber, intel, homeland security, and federal financial and regulatory quite a while ago. So our strategy, we believe our long-term growth rate is 20%, even with this market.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is organic, and the other part of it is by acquisition. So that's always part of our strategy.
Is it possible that we could get to a point where the competition becomes really fierce for picking some of these companies up?
It already is. As an example, with HPTI, there was, I think, over 80 companies expressed interest in that company at the very beginning of the process.
Wow.
You know, we ultimately ended up being successful in that the multiples were high for those companies, and we're seeing that pretty much in the market today. So there's really quality companies that are going for high multiples, and then there's sort of everybody else that may be going for a little bit lower multiple.
When we come back from the break, let's talk a little bit about the courting process there, not necessarily specifically about the HPTI acquisition, but just the process that a company like yours goes through when you're looking at a smaller company to potentially pick up. Paul Strasser's my guest from DRC on In Depth with Francis. Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment.
This week's Kaiser Permanente Experts in Health topic is hypertension, featuring Dr. John Lee, an internist with the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group.
Blood pressure measures the force in your vessels when your heart pumps blood. Hypertension, or high blood pressure, is when the numbers are greater than 140 over 90 and stay high consistently over time. Here are some tips to help lower your blood pressure. Stick to a heart-healthy diet. Eat less fat and sodium and eat more fiber. Limit alcohol intake. Try to exercise at least 30 minutes a day, 5 times a week. Quit smoking. Achieve and maintain a healthy weight. Talk with your doctor to see what medications, if any, can help lower your blood pressure. Hypertension rarely causes symptoms, but it can lead to heart attacks and strokes. That's why it's called the silent killer. Kaiser Permanente encourages you to know your blood pressure and talk with your physician about how to achieve the level that's right for you. Be well and thrive.
To learn more about Kaiser Permanente's experts in health, visit kp.org/midatlantic and click Meet Our Doctors.
Today, computer attacks are more frequent, distributed, easy to mount, persistent, and disruptive than ever before. Some sectors are doing a better job than others in proactively addressing these concerns, though most do so following an attack. The market punishes those who do not respond well, but it does not reward those who are prepared in the first place. What can organizations do to solve this cybersecurity dilemma? A distinguished panel of top experts will focus on exploring market incentives that may or may not currently exist to stimulate greater corporate investment in cybersecurity protection measures. Listen to The Cybersecurity Dilemma, Incentives to Drive Change Rather Than Reactive Response, as part of the Booz Allen Hamilton Expert Voices panel series on October 25th at 12 p.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. For more information, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen.
The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has an expansive and varied mission. What is Homeland Security's acquisition strategy? How is DHS enhancing its acquisition oversight? And what is DHS doing to better manage its resources and execute its overall mission? Join host Michael Keegan on the next Business of Government Hour as he explores these questions and so much more with Dr. Nick Nyack, Chief Procurement Officer of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security.
Renew Against the Flu. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS Health Beat. Flu season is as regular as fall and winter, but a lot less fun. So as we head into flu season, it's time to get protected against the flu by getting vaccinated, even if you got vaccinated last year. It takes about 2 weeks after vaccination for your body to develop an immune response. It pays to get vaccinated now so that you will be protected. The director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Thomas Frieden.
Everyone 6 months of age and over should get a flu shot this year and every year. And it's getting easier to do that in terms of the ways you can get vaccinated and the amount of vaccine available.
This year, in addition to the regular flu shot and the nasal spray vaccine, there is a flu shot given with a much smaller needle. And there is a high-dose flu shot for those 65 and older. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
Have you been in government contracting, procurement, or acquisition for 30 years? NCMA has. Join the National Contract Management Association for the 30th Annual Government Contract Management Conference, November 14th and 15th in Bethesda, Maryland. The conference draws more than 1,000 government contract management professionals. Hear from respected speakers such as Scott Gould, Deputy Secretary, Department of Veterans Affairs, Martha Johnson, Administrator, GSA, and Shay Assad, Director, Defense Pricing, DOD. Learn more at ncmahq.org today.
Headed to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor, Federal News Radio can be heard crystal clear on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. It's the same great station, just on an added frequency. Get the latest news about the federal government and government contractors. Hear exclusive interviews with the movers and shakers in the federal arena. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Paul Strasser of DRC is my guest on Industry Chatter today. We're talking about M&As and talked about the acquisition, Paul, of HPTI that your company's completed recently. When you're and you talked about being in the market, what are you looking for, not specifically attributes of companies, but what makes sense? What's a good fit where you look at a company like, in the case of HPTI, you and the 80-some other companies that were interested, where you go, yeah, that's one that should be on our list?
There's a lot of criteria that go into, you know, what makes a good target of opportunity. And I think every company has sort of the same playbook, but there are some variables in there as well. For us, it's all about strategic markets. So how can they add to our capability in strategic markets that I've already mentioned, things like cybersecurity or healthcare? Culture is obviously a really important factor. The contracts that they have, whether they're small business contracts or full and open contracts. So there are many factors that go into a decision. Sometimes you want to bulk up in a particular customer set. You know, so there's really a lot of different strategies. For us, it's really about the quality of the company and how they add to our strategic markets and where we see the business going in the future.
How do you find out about the companies? Is it just people that you know? Is it networking, or what's the process?
Well, there's a couple different ways. One way is you proactive. It's like business development, right? You proactively go out and you search for the right people and you talk to them and you try to convince them to you court them, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
More generally speaking, they hire bankers, and then you get involved through the banking and the firms that are involved in helping them to sell. So there's buy-side, sell-side representation. And so there's quite a few of those, and we get lots of what they call books. And so, you know, I think last 2010, I probably looked at about 40 different properties.
You're going to get a bunch more now after you've been on here and said that you're looking.
Well, you know, we're always keeping our eyes open for good stuff.
We talked about the fact that you think that we're at the beginning of kind of a wave of M&A over the next couple of years. Do you think it primarily will be the kinds of acquisitions that you're looking at, where you're trying to find complementary but not duplicative, or do you think there'll be a lot of bulk up type M&A?
You know, again, it depends on the situation that the company's in. I think it'll probably be more the former than the latter. So mm-hmm. I think it's about getting into these hot markets that we've already talked about. So you know, I think that's where it's going. Personally, I'm a little bit hesitant. I think the timing for DRC was very good with HPTI. I think that, you know, as we move forward in a very cost-competitive environment and holding on to your business is important, you know, I sometimes worry that if you buy a smaller company and, you know, are they really going to be able to hold on to that business, you know, post-transaction?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's some risks around these situations, and there's a lot of people that are smarter than I am that that look at all those things. For me, it's about really what does it mean for the business, and that's what we focus on.
I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about contracts and contracting vehicles. Dan Gordon's been out and about with Mythbusters and trying to get contracting officers to understand what they can and can't do, and a lot of what he's focused on are things that they can do that they haven't been doing. Are you starting to see any breaks in that? Are you starting to see more of a willingness on the part of contracting officers and acquisition people to collaborate with you and to talk to you even way before the RFP process, just to get a sense of what's possible?
You know, my experience is I haven't seen that really changing yet. I really feel for the federal contracting officers. I mean, they're in a very tough bind right now. I mean, if you look at it, you know, first you have the business cycle, right? You know, the appropriations bill isn't being passed till very late in the year. They have a limited time to spend all that money. So there's a tremendous amount of work that has to be performed. And as you know, there's a lack of experienced people in this field. So I think that's, you know, I think it's a tough place to be. So in some ways, if you were to go out and try to talk and get a lot of industry feedback and maybe more market research than they're currently doing, I mean, yes, that's the right thing to do, but is it really, you know, I don't know, is it really possible based on everything else that's going on? I personally believe, and I said it, I think, on the show maybe the first time I was on, I've seen it done really well in government. Mm-hmm. I remember when Jim Williams was the program manager working with Greg Rothwell at DHS, and they were doing the U.S. visit procurement. There was a tremendous amount of interaction before the RFP, and I believe that if the government has good discussions ahead of time, that they'll get the best solution in the end. So I'm a huge proponent of the notion of and what Dan Gordon and others are trying to do there. I'm not sure they're turning the corner yet, perhaps a little bit. There's more that we can do, and there's still this big fear that gets in the way, and something called the FAR that people always worry about. Without having to, and that's what MythBusters is all about. It's about understanding that you can do these things without violating any rules.
That's what I guess is really frustrating, because certainly it wouldn't be in Dan Gordon's interest to go and tell you a bunch of things that you are supposed to be able to do when you actually can't do them according to the FAR, because people could just look it up, and yet this isn't happening. He's telling people they can do things, and making the business case, I think, pretty eloquently. And yet we're still not seeing much action. I mean, you're not the only person to tell me that.
Yeah, I think the 25-point plan is a good one. There's a lot of aspects to it. I think the data center consolidation is, you know, well down the road and is a great, you know, sort of activity. Some, you know, cloud computing, it looks like that's going well. I think there's still some difficulty down the road a little bit on some of the cloud stuff. But but many of the things that were outlined in that plan were good common sense ideas that have been around a long time, and mm-hmm. now that they're codified, and MythBusters being one of them, I think that's a strong plan going forward. It's only going to help the government and industry to do better.
Is the cultural change, though, that will be required to get people to get rid of that fear possible in the environment that we're in now, when we're trying to do that at the same time that we're seeing the cutbacks that we're having, and you know, we talked earlier about the push to LPTA at the Pentagon, at least, and people are talking about it at other agencies too. Same idea, not the same name, but
yeah, you know, I think it'll be good. I don't know that I could comment a whole lot on that one. I think everything's moving in the right direction. There's some challenges ahead for everybody. I think what's important is that we focus on making sure that we deliver. We all want to deliver good services to the citizens, and we want to do it in the most cost-effective way. You know, the government wants that. The industry wants that. We're partners in this. Unfortunately, some of that partnership, I think, is eroded a little bit. We need to continue to move forward because we truly want to make things better, and I think that's what's important here.
Paul Strasser of DRC is my guest on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll continue our conversation in just a minute on In Depth with Francis Rose.
Retirement is expensive, but dinner won't be, because it's on me. Hi, I'm Mark Tabron, host of How to Protect and Grow Your Money on Federal News Radio. Join me for an informative dinner seminar at Rips Casual Dining on October the 27th in Bowie, Maryland. We'll talk about ways to help you disaster-proof your retirement. Call 1-800-783-1564 to make a reservation. Seating is limited, so call now, 1-800-783-1564. To learn more, listen Saturday mornings at 10:30 a.m. for How to Protect and Grow Your Money on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Facing a new day, delivering services efficiently, improving citizens' lives, Booz Allen Hamilton supports the most important challenges of government, from defense and economic security to health and cyber solutions. Booz Allen strategy and technology consultants partner with clients to deliver results that endure. Whether managing today's issues or looking beyond the horizon, clients can count on Booz Allen to help them be ready for what's next. BoozAllen.com/ready for what's next.
We live in uncertain times. More than ever, federal agencies rely on TASC to accomplish the most important missions and protect America's way of life. Few in the world can do what the experts at TASC do. Trusted partners, honest counselors, TASC's highly specialized problem solvers use rare knowledge and deep experience to provide advanced systems engineering, integration, and decision support services that the U.S. government depends on to keep the country safe and secure. TASC, working for you and the nation. TASC.com.
Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose.
Martha Doris is the Deputy Associate Administrator in the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies.
The web world is not leveraging what the contact center world has to offer. If they start integrating across government, we could look at providing more of the basic answers to questions more centrally so that agencies could spend their limited resources on the more difficult questions that are program specific.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Belinfi. A clinical trial in Costa Rica has researchers suggesting that giving an HPV vaccine to more women with fewer doses for each could reduce cervical cancer incidence more than the standard 3-dose program for fewer women. Dr. Amy Kramer at the NIH explains results after 4 years of follow-up.
What we observed was that the vaccine efficacy for women who received 2 doses or even a single dose was quite comparable to that of the standard regimen.
She says further studies are needed to confirm the findings in other populations and to calculate how long protection lasts with fewer doses. For more information, visit www.cancer.gov. Health Matters is produced by the National Institutes of Health, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Paul Strasser of DRC is my guest on Industry Chatter today. We've talked throughout the program about the importance of the various contracting vehicles all across government, Paul, and how that plays into M&A and how it plays into the various agencies that you're working for. There's when we mentioned Dan Gordon just a few minutes ago, one of the things that he's telling people is you have to start to make a business case if you want to build your own new one. Does that make sense to you? Is that a good idea, or is that something that the agencies should have a little more freedom to do?
Well, I'm not sure I should answer that. I think there are a lot more vehicles, IDIQ vehicles, agency-specific vehicles than there used to be. Certainly, DRC has a lot of these vehicles, whether it's TIPS 4 at IRS, NetSense with the Air Force, or GSA RMF contract for doing security across government, teams for healthcare on the military health side of the house. So there's Eagle, you know, there's a lot. And when you start adding them all up, sometimes if you don't get one from an industry perspective, you feel like you've really been left out in the dark here. So it's really important. And so we bid and we spend a lot of time and energy trying to acquire these vehicles. In the old days, right, GSA had the vehicles and there were a lot less of them. There were some IDIQs, but they weren't of the same nature that they are today. And it was sort of a simpler world, and it's changed a lot since then. And quite frankly, it's more difficult to navigate.
The cynic in me says that when things are more complicated, they don't work as well, and it doesn't take very long till you get to the way too much part. Are we there yet where it's just more complicated than it needs to be when it comes to all the vehicles that are out there?
Well, I think that IDIQs are an essential part of the business of government. And the reason is, we talked about it earlier, there's less contracting officers trying to spend money quicker. So if you could pre-qualify a bunch of people and you get to run your own agency's procurement, so it's in your control and you're working and worrying about the mission and everything else, it makes a lot of sense to me. At the same time, can the government derive any value from having, more economies of scale? And I think the answer is probably yes. So I think there's a case for what's gone on and what may happen. There still is, the large GWAC contracts. The big news is everybody's waiting for CIOSP-3, a true GWAC. But Eagle's going to be awarded maybe the first quarter 2012. There's several of them that are out there, and they've become essential, right? If you want to do business at Homeland Security and you're not on an Eagle vehicle, that's a problem.
Yep. I wonder, though, if that doesn't become counterproductive for the agency at some point where they're limiting themselves to just whoever winds up getting on that contract.
Well, I think they inevitably, it's a very competitive environment. There are a lot of good companies. If you look at Alliant, right, that's a GSA, mm-hmm. True GWAC. There's, over 50 on the large side. I forget how many on the small side. Eagle, had a lot of quality companies there on each of the different functional categories. There was five functional categories. They had restricted and unrestricted lots. So you probably add that all up, you'd probably get to another, probably close to 50 companies, I would mm-hmm. guess. So, there is, they're gonna get the real quality companies, and they'll bubble up to the top, and so they'll probably get the services that they're looking for.
Do you think we'll see more of those as time goes on? Less of them? Will that be affected by the budget situation, or how does that look to you?
My guess is right now that there's established vehicles in most of the major departments and agencies. So do they really need more? I'm not so sure about that. I think they seem to exist across a large collection of the executive branch of government. So I'm not sure that more is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's appropriate sort of where we are because, again, they have a lot to do and they have a short time to do it. And the ease of use with an IDIQ just makes a lot of sense to me.
We talked about the situation with the acquisition workforces at the agencies where they're stretched really thin. Do you think, getting the tools that they need to be able to deal with the tremendous avalanche of services contracts where it's a lot harder to determine what really is the best value or the best price when it's not widgets really that much anymore?
Well, I think they're trying to get there. I think it's, we're on the cusp of the baby boomers retiring.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of challenges. I mean, when it comes right down to it, whether you're in the government or you're on the contractor side, it's still all about the people and the people with experience. So, I think that says something that training is going to be important, right? It goes back to, training and having capable people and enough people. But when you're in an efficiency and effectiveness environment, it's about getting better tools to increase productivity, looking at inefficiencies in process. So one of the things that DRC does is we're involved with Lean Six Sigma, which is kind of an interesting area because Newt Gingrich has been on this he's a big believer in it.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out the House of Representatives has a bill, 414, that is actually trying to promote the requirement to have Lean Six Sigma as part of government process improvement.
Mm-hmm. I want to switch gears here for a minute and talk about something that I noticed in your bio. You're involved. I see you just about everywhere. Anytime I go to an event, I run into you, and that's cool. You're involved in FCEA. You're involved in ACT IAC. You're involved in Tech America. What does that do for you as somebody who needs to continue to be an expert on these things to be able to serve your customers? And what does it do for your company to be involved in these organizations?
Well, there's a couple things. So first of all, having access to the industry associations helps you in a lot of ways. One is to network for business development and partnering on opportunities. Another area is to gain higher relationships with your counterparts on the government side. For example, ACT IAC is a mission that there is no lobbying. They partner truly to develop solutions for government. And you can't promote your company when you're doing ACT IAC things. So there's some real good there. And I always tell my young people that I'm mentoring, I always tell them that you got to get into service. Otherwise, when you sit across from somebody, if you're just another suit, that's not where the game is played. You got to get into service, work to make this industry better. And if you do that, you'll develop the kind of relationships that are long-lasting
mm-hmm.
and valuable going forward. So at DRC, we take that very we believe in that very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
And so another area is if you want to affect public policy, Tech America is a way we do that. We go through them to help affect certain policies that we think are maybe the wrong policies going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of benefits that are derived from being a part of these different organizations. But in the end, it's really to give something back to the industry to make the whole thing better.
When you talk about service, too, that actually fits with what a trend that a lot of people are talking about, which is agencies are not looking so much to hear from salespeople as they are to hear from subject matter experts when they're trying to figure out either what their solution is or which ones that they should be looking at.
Yeah, it's really important. I mean, we got to keep up on the best practices, particularly on the technical side. That's really sort of the black magic that goes on, right, in a lot of the IT and government. So, yeah, as an example, the ACT-IAC has something called the SIGs, the shared interest groups, and those are developed into some very highly technical areas. For example, enterprise architecture. Well, one of the leaders in the enterprise architecture SIG is Ira Sachs. He's written a book. He works for DRC. And we get involved in a lot of those different areas. And truly, you want experts in those fields contributing there because it's sort of like the open source world, right? Mm-hmm. The people that are the experts contribute, and they develop their own worth. They develop the brand recognition for their companies. And at the same time, they're helping the whole industry move forward. So it's a great concept.
We have to take a break and get ready to come back and wrap up. But I want to ask you about one other thing on your bio when we come back. It's one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time. Paul Strasser is my guest. He's Senior Vice President, General Manager for the Federal Group at DRC, and we'll wrap up in just a moment.
By the latest second-generation Intel Core processors, new HP ProLiant GS servers are an ideal choice for reducing power costs and getting a jump on your cloud computing initiatives. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how the power of HP and Intel can achieve ROI in as little as 2 months. Talk to GovConnection and find out how together they can power your data center into the future. Call 800-800-0019 today.
Caps fans, hockey season is in full swing.
Doesn't get better than that.
The Caps are hard at work. Can you feel the excitement building? You've been doing your part in building America's hockey capital by extending our consecutive game sellout streak at Verizon Center. Tickets are still available for remaining games, but are extremely limited. So call 202-397-SEAT or log on to WashingtonCaps.com/singleticks and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
A coalition of 21 federal unions and associations wants Congress to reject President Obama's proposed increase in employee retirement contributions because they're already dealing with pay freezes and program budget cuts. The coalition tells the supercommittee feds have sacrificed enough. Now, if the supercommittee doesn't come up with the plan by Thanksgiving, or if Congress rejects it, then across-the-board cuts will kick in. I'm Amy Morris.
Will you be receiving a 25% life insurance premium refund check from your insurance company? Federal employees with WEPA Life Insurance will be receiving over $6 million in premium refunds this fall. Since 1996, WEPA has refunded over $58 million in premiums. In comparison, Fegley has never issued a premium refund. Isn't it time you considered WEPA for your family's life insurance needs? For better insurance, better prices, and better value, visit WAEPA.org. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
Level 3 Communications enables federal agencies to be agile with scalable solutions like content delivery and SIP trunking. Be secure with cloud solutions, purpose-built for the federal government. Be prepared with best-in-class data center and storage area network solutions. Be connected to the company that invests in bringing their network direct to you. Level 3 services are available on Networks Enterprise and Which 3 contracts. To learn more, visit level3.com/federal. Level 3. Think ahead.
Human Capital Management Federal is a highly anticipated training conference with over 300 delegates and key speakers, such as John Berry, Director of the Office of Personnel Management, John Sepulveda, Assistant Secretary for Human Resources and Administration at the Department of Veterans Affairs, and Michael Caine, Chief Human Capital Officer for the Department of Energy. The event is November 14th through 16th at the Sheraton National Hotel in Arlington, Virginia. Visit hcmfederal.com for more info and to register now. Mention code FNRHCMF to receive a 10% discount.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest on Industry Chatters, Paul Strasser of DRC. And you have an attribute on your bio, Paul, that is one of the best that I've seen in a long time. It says, Mr. Strasser has a bachelor's degree in meteorology from State University of New York at Oswego. How do you wind up in the federal contracting community with a meteorology degree?
It's a great story. I actually... After I graduated college, I actually got moved to Palo Alto, California.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned is that a lot of the meteorologists are come out of the military. And anyway, so soon after that, they hired me over at Lockheed to take care of military satellites.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you know, they fly weather satellites and other satellites. But they were looking for anybody with a science background.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually how I got into this business. And
wow.
I became a command and control guy.
So what's the weather forecast for ELC for this weekend?
Well, it looks like a big high pressure is going to be moving down behind this this low that's kind of parked itself right now. It's over Chicago, but it's going to slowly move to the northeast, and then big high is going to settle in. It should be a beautiful weekend.
That's fantastic. I need to get you in front of a blue screen with a little remote thing, and you can show everybody on the maps. That would be cool. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, actually, in college, I was on the radio. I used to do the weather on the radio, and they had this little TV, and what they did is the weather map was about the size of a piece of paper, 8.5 by 11, and you used a little pointer to do it on the college TV station.
Technology's changed a little bit since then.
Right.
On a serious note, as we look out, I think the last time you were here was, what, a year or a little bit over a year ago. As we look out over the next year to 18 months to 2 years, what do you expect to be different, either because of what we're in budget-wise or just the nature of contracting trends or whatever?
You know, I don't know. I think that it'll probably be less different than people think it's going to be. The one funny thing about this business, and there's a lot of people that are great beards that are around the industry, is it doesn't change as quickly as people sometimes think it's going to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there will be some change. And that said, I'm not sure it'll be as drastic as some of the pundits would suggest. And but I think it's going to be different. I think the strong will survive and do well. And some of the weak, may have a little more struggle with it. And so we'll see how that goes. I mean, the fact is we still got to serve this country and everything we do, to keep it on the right path.
Always great to see you. Thanks for coming in, and I'll run into you this weekend, I'm sure.
Thanks a lot. And one more thing, if I could.
Yes.
Autism Walk this Saturday. We're, again, raising money for autism as a parent of a child with autism. I just want to put that out there for people to please support us.
Well, how can people do that?
They can go to Autism Walk. Just Google the National Autism Walk and for Autism Speaks.
We'll get it linked up and put it on the in-depth page with this interview. Thanks for coming.
Thank you
very
much.
It's great to see you. Paul Strasser is the Senior Vice President, General Manager of the Federal Group at DRC. Hour number two of In-Depth with Francis Rose right around the corner on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.